Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the page on Nun Vav Amud Beis. It says in the Mishnah, Kol HaKesamim HaNimtzaim B'Kol Makom Taharin. Any kesem, any stains, any blood stains that are found anywhere in a Jewish area, Rashi points out, B'Kol Makom means B'Makom Yisrael. This is in contrast to the last Mishnah we did yesterday, which was about some that come from places that are not either entirely Jewish or Jewish at all, where Ovdei Kochavim don't have a din of Tumah, so din of Tumas Nida. So we're talking about a kesem that comes from a Jewish area where Jewish women certainly have a din of Tumas Nida. So any such stain that's found in a normal location, though, is Tahar. Why is it going to be Tahar? Because we assume that a Jewish woman, although she does have Tumas Nida, if you're finding it, then it must not be Dam Nida, because she knows how to take care of the Dam Nida and make sure that it's put away, that it's hidden away in a place where you're not going to find it, where it's not going to be stumbling block for other people to encounter. Chutz min ha-mitzayim b'chadarim u'b'sivos beis ha-tmeos, except for if you find it in chadarim, which is very private places, where Rashi points out, mistama mida'atzni idam nidahu, from the fact that it was obviously hidden away there, so it must be that it was dam nida, or svivos beis ha-tmeos. What is a beis ha-tmeos? Says Rashi again, cheder she'anashim mishtamshos bo b'yemei nidusan, a special room that women reserve for themselves during their yemei nidus. Apparently, during their yemei nidus, they would sort of excommunicate themselves almost. They would go to a special location where they would spend a lot of time. So in that location where nidos would always be, so any dam that's found there, you can assume is dam nida. These are very private areas where you're expected to be on guard for dam nida. So blood found in these areas is dam nida, but blood found elsewhere, we assume that Jewish women took care of their dam nida and would not allow their blood to get out and to be found anywhere else. Beis ha-tmeos shel kutim. What about the beis ha-tmeos of kutim? So metamen ba'oel meishin kovim shamas ha-nefelim. It's even metame ba'oel because there's not only damnida there. Forget about the damnida. They bury their fetuses there. They bury nefelim there, and a nefel could be metame ba'oel. Rabbi Yehuda omer loy kovrin el mashlichin v'chaya garata. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The kutim are actually much more careless with their nephilim. They wouldn't bury their nephilim there. They would just throw their nephilim there. And since they would just throw it there above ground, wild animals would come and would drag the nephilim away. And therefore, you don't have to worry about any form of tumah. So ironically, because they were more careless, there's less of a problem of tumah, not more of a problem of tumah. It's less of a problem of tumah because we know that the chayus will take care of it. And then the Mishnah just lists off a number of things that kutim are believed about in halacha. Now, manam lo. First of all, they're believed to say that they did or did not bury a nefel in a given location. Now, manam lomar al behema im bikra im lo bikra. They're believed to tell us whether an animal has had a bechor or has not yet had a bechor, and the next baby born from it will be the bechor. Now, manam al tzim kvaros. They're believed about marking off graves. Veina manam lo schachos v'lo pros v'lo beis hapras. But what they're not believed on is schachos and pros, different protrusions that may cause a problem of tumas ohel if there's tuma underneath it. So to tell us that those protrusions do not have any problem of tumas ohel, that there's no tuma in that area, they're not believed about that, and nor are they believed on beis hapras. Beis hapras, the two classic definitions of beis hapras, is a sada shenechrash ba-kever and a sada sheneva ba-kever. Either a field that you know there was a kever there, and the whole field was plowed, so the dead body has probably been cut up into a million pieces and is all over the field, and in any given location there might be an etzem kisaora of the dead body that you come into contact with, or a sada shenevar bakever, a sada that there was a dead body buried there but you can't find it and you don't know exactly where it was buried there. So at any given location in the field you might be right above the dead body, you might not be right above the dead body. Those are two definitions of beis hapras. Beis hapras is tamei midrabanan, so the kuti is not believed to tell us about the tumma or tahara status of a beis hapras. And the rule is a very simple rule. Zeh klal, davar shechashudim bo einem manim lav. Anything that we have to be choshed, the kutim, in themselves not observing, so they can't be believed. And that's really not just a din for kutim. That's a din for anybody. You're not allowed to believe anybody about something that they themselves are choshed in violating. It's just that for the kutim, there's this broad area of halacha, namely all of Torah Shebal Peh, that they happen to be choshed in. They're very careful about Torah Shebichsav, but they're very suspect in Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore they're not believed in Torah Shebal Peh. If you have someone who generally is observant of Torah Shebal Peh, but isn't observant of a given halacha, so he's not Neman, and not given halacha, because he doesn't view that halacha as important enough for himself to observe. Now, the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos over here says that Bizman Hazeh, even the Kuti himself, if a Kuti dies, is not Metameh Ba'ohel, because a Kuti Bizman Hazeh has din of an Ovid Kuchavim, and an Ovid Kuchavim is not Metameh Ba'ohel. So this comment of the Rambam is very perplexing to the Achronim. So as Yantav points out, that it's very difficult. What do you mean? The Gemara we just had yesterday had a Machlokas. Are Kutim Gerei Arayos or are Kutim Gerei Emes? Are they legitimate Gerim, Gerei Emes, where they're therefore they would have the halachic status of a Jew, or the Gerei Arayos? Do we assume that their Gerus was an invalid Gerus? It was something that they felt pressured into doing because they were afraid, and therefore they do not have the status of a Jew. And the Maskana seems to be that Kutim are in fact Gerei Emes, that they are Jewish. So if he's a Jew, he should be Metame. Why wouldn't he be Metame Ba'ol? How could the Rambam say that nowadays he has a din of a guy, so he's not Metame Ba'ol? So Tosyan says it must be that the Rambam passes halacha that kutim are gerei arayos, and therefore they have a din of a guy. But Chacham Sal points out that doesn't really satisfy anything either, because then the Rambam shouldn't have said bizman hazeh they're not metame ba'ol. The Rambam should have just said they're not metame ba'ol. What does that have to do with bizman hazeh? So if the Rambam really held that they're gerei arayos, then it's not only bizman hazeh, then forever they never were metame ba'ol because they were never Jewish. So you see from the Rambam is that the Rambam must hold that gerei emesim, that they were really legitimate gerim. It's just that at some later date they made a gzeira that they should have a din of an ovid kachavim, that they should be treated with the halachic status of a guy, because we found them worshipping avodah zarah and har grizim, they found them worshipping a tumas yonah and har grizim. So if that's the case, the kasha still remains. If they're gerei emes, and we just were gozer later on that they have a din of a guy, so why aren't they metame ba'ol? If a Jew becomes a mumar, a Jew, Rachman al-Tzlan, decides he's gonna give up on Judaism and he's gonna convert to some other religion, what, he's not metame ba'ol? Yisrael shechati Yisrael, he still has a din of a Jew min haTorah. So how could the Rambam say that bizman hazeh we're not worried he's not going to be metame ba'ol? So the Chacham Spitzal tries to be miyashiv that maybe the Rambam really holds that they're gerei arayos. The only thing, what was the problem? Then why does he say only bizman hazeh they're not metame ba'ol? They were never metame ba'ol if they're gerei arayos, if they weren't legitimate gerim. Now maybe the Rambam held, yes, they're gerei arayos, they're not Jews, but initially we made a gzeira midrabanan that they should have the status of Jews l'chumra, that they should be metame ba'ol. But that was all gzeira midrabanan. Then once we found that they were being ovid avodah zarah and har grizim, so they decided that we don't even have to be concerned midrabanan. Why did they make this gzeira midrabanan that they should have the status of Jews? Who knows? Maybe there is some gerei emes amongst them, and if there are gerei emes amongst them, maybe this mace happens to be one of the gerei emes that's amongst them. But once we saw that they're worshiping the Dmus Yonah and Har Grizim, so then we felt that the Chacham felt that it wasn't a legitimate concern anymore. It wasn't a viable concern that there are gerei emes amongst them, and therefore they were gozer. They took away the original gzeira, and they were mamed on the din d'oraisa that they're goyim, and therefore there's no longer any tumas ohel. Now, the actual shita of the Rambam, Chacham Sal points out that you could prove that kutim are, that the Rambam masol kutim are gerei emes heim, though. Meaning, even though the Chacham Sal just said the only way to be miyashiv this comment of the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos is to say that the Rambam holds that they're gerei arayos, and the initial din that they should be mitameh was only a din mitrabbanan, and all we did was don't do that din midrabanan, but you could prove from other Rambams that that's not so, that the Rambam holds that they were geri emes. Because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodin in Parag Vav, Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes, Kol shtar sheyesh lav afilu eid echad kuti, pasul, chutz mi gitei nashim v'shechurei avadim shein ksherin afilu be'ed echad Yisrael ve'ed echad kuti. The Rambam says, if you have a get that has one regular kosher witness on it, and the other witness is a kuti, so that get is going to be kosher, v'hu sheyia kuti chaver, as long as the kuti knows what he's doing. U'bizman hazeh, sha'kutim ka'akum l'chal devrayim, anu l'meidin mehen l'tztukin, sha'tztukin b'zman hazeh kum ha'kuti, bo se hazman kodim sh'gozra leim shu ka'akum l'chal devrayim. However, he says, nowadays, that kutim have a din of a guy, maybe this halacha won't apply anymore. So what do you see from the Rambam? That maker din really, the kuti would be a kashra aid on a get. Why? Must be because they're gerei emesim, because they have a din of a Jew. He says only bizman hazeh would they have a din of akum, not prior to bizman hazeh. He was willing to be machshir, one aid Yisrael, one aid kuti chaver. So if the Rambam would hold that they're gerei arayos, he would never have been machshir a kuti chaver on the get. So clearly the Rambam has to hold that they're gerei emesim. So now we're back to the original kasha. If you hold that they're really gerei emesim, why are they not Matame Ba'oel? If they're Geri Emesim, they're Jews. How could the Rambam get off saying that Bizman Hazeh, they're not going to be Matame Ba'oel anymore? So the Chachos Pesal says, maybe what you have to say is based on the Gemara in Yevamos of Tzad Yamin Beis, where the Gemara discusses to what extent do the Rabbanan have the right to uproot Dina Midah Raisa. Yesh koch b'yarchon lakadov min ha-Torah, ein koch b'yarchon lakadov min ha-Torah. So the Gemara over there says, ein koch b'yarchachamim to be mami devreim negi devrei Torah b'kum v'asei. They can't be okadov min ha-Torah b'kum v'asei. But yesh koch b'yarchon lakadov min ha-Torah b'shevi al taseh. However, says the Gemara, when it's the Migdar Milsa, when the Chachamim think that things are going to get out of control and that they need to make some sort of stopgap measure, with the Migdar Milsa, then Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachamim, Lakor Dov Min HaTorah, Afilu B'Kum V'Aseh. Then even if it involves active violation of the Torah, the Rabbanan are entitled to go against what it says in the Torah. And the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, the Vav Amud Aleph, explains the reason the Chamor goes around the Kutim, that they should have a din of a guy, was the Migdar Milsa, so that Jews would know to stay away from them. Meaning if they really had a din of a Jew, so Jews are going to try to be Makari of them, and they're going to try to hang out with them, they're going to try to develop a Kesher with them, and that would have been a tragic thing for the Jewish community, because we would have ultimately, as much as maybe we would have tried to be Meshbia, we would have become Mushpa from them. So the Chacham made the Migdar Milsa to stay away from them, that they should have a din of a guy. So the Chacham were even able to be Mamet Devrayim against Devray Torah, even the Hakel, even that we shouldn't be Metame B'Tumas Ha'ol, because anything that's the Migdar Milsa, the Chacham have the right to go against the Devray Torah, even the Hakel, even to violate B'Kum Ma'aseh. And that's what the Rabbi means, that B'Zman HaZeh, we the Migdar Milsa, we treat them like Geri Arayos, even though really, Meikra Adin, they were Geri Emes, so Meikra Adin, they were really Jews. That's the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos on this Mishnah. Now says Gemara, my drosh, what drasha did these kutim make? So what are we talking about? What's the kasha? Which element of their behavior are we questioning? So Rashi says, kutim she'im kovrmes anefelim. The fact that they don't bury the nefels, that was machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda held that they don't bury the nefelim, they're just mashlichin, they just throw the nefelim there, and the chaya will drag away the nefel after a while. So that's what we're asking. What drasha did they make to learn not to be kovr the nefelim? The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the Meiri say that that the Gemara is actually asking a different question. We're asking why they didn't bring him to the Beis HaKvaros and they would just bury the Nefel wherever it would happen to be. Meaning we had a machlokas in the Mishnah whether they did or didn't bury the Nefel. Who are we asking this question within? According to Rashi, we're asking this question within the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that they didn't bury the Nefel at all, and we're asking why didn't they bury the Nefel? According to the Rambam and the Meiri, no, we're asking the question within the Sheet of the Tanakhama that they did bury the Nefel, but they would bury it in the Beis HaTemeos, in the place where they would hang out when they were in Nida. They wouldn't bury it in a proper cemetery. So we're asking about that. Why didn't they bury the Nefel in a proper cemetery? So either way, my drush, they had some sort of drasha to justify their odd behavior. So what was the drasha? Pasuk says, "Lo sasuk v'l'reach asher gavlu rishonim b'nachla secha." So we darshan, kol sheyesh lo nachla, yesh lo gvul. Anyone who gets a nachla, who gets an inheritance, has a gvul. Kol shein lo nachla, ein lo gvul. Anyone who doesn't have a nachla, doesn't have a gvul. And gvul we're defining as your own dalet amos to be buried in on this earth, lachar me'evesim shana. So who gets a proper burial? Only one who has a nachla. A nefel happens to not have a nachla, doesn't get a yerusha. So since it doesn't get a yerusha, mela doesn't have a gvul either. Now there is a comment, Hagos Maimonios, in Hilchus Mila Perek Aleph, Os Yud, Hagos Maimonios makes a comment that we don't bury a nefel on Yom Tov Sheni, because minat Torah there's no mitzvah to be kover a nefel. It's only a din midrabanan, midar raisa, there's no din to bury a nefel. So Magen Avram in Tav Kuv Chav Vav in Hilchus Yantif, Sivkat Mchav questions this Hagos Maimonios from our sugya, because the Gemara over here does make this drasha that there's no din midaraisa to bury an eifel, and you know how the Gemara classifies this drasha? A drasha that the Kutim made to justify their unusual behavior of not burying an eifel. But it sounds that we would hold that you would bury an eifel, that the Chachamim would certainly disagree with the Kutim, and we would hold that an eifel is chayiv b'kvura min haTorah. So how can he say that a Kuti is not chayiv and kvura min haTorah at all? So that's the kasha Magen Avraham has. The Achronim work on it. It's not such a simple kasha. The Binyan Sion just points out that l'may nafkamina anyway, meaning anyway it would require a kvura, even if there's no din of kvura and nefil min haTorah, we would require to bury it anyhow because of tumas kohanim. That's the Binyan Sion Kufiyotas points out that l'gabe tumas kohanim we would have to bury it anyway. So the only nafkamina would be Yom Tov Sheni, which the Hagos Maimonios quotes it in the context of that there would be that they it would be able to wait or would have to wait till after Yom Tov Sheni, wouldn't be mekel legabe Yom Tov Sheni. The other nafkamina might be is there an isra of baltalin in general, that if it's just an issue of tumas kohanim, so it's not an isra of baltalin to not bury it. That's what the Binyan Tzion points out. But if it's a din kvura, so then there's an isra of baltalin. Another nafkamina might be, do you have to bury it or can you just get rid of it? If it's a din tumas kohanim, so then you would you just have to get rid of it, just to make sure that it's not around. But if it's a din in kvura, so then you have to bury it bekarka. You have to treat it like a normal dead body, and or just if we're tumas kohanim, just throw it somewhere in the Beis HaKvaros. Kohanim can't go in the Beis HaKvaros anyway. You wouldn't have to bury it bekarka. But if it's a din kvuri, you'd have to dafka bury it bekarka. So anyway, that was the drasha that the Kutim made to justify their unusual behavior and how they treated the nefel. So in the third line from the top, Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mishnah had said Nemanim Lomar Kavarnu, that a Kuti is believed to say that he has buried a nefel. So frek the Gemara, how is he believed to say that? Valas luv lif nevel l'sit in michshol. Even if he believes that a nefel must be buried, how can we believe him to say that a place is tamei or isn't tamei? Enochinami, for himself, he's careful about tumas meis, because that's something that's midaraisa, and the Kutim were very careful about things that were midaraisa. But he has no problems lying to us about whether a halacha was taken care of or not, because he doesn't hold the lifnever l'sitin michshel, so he has no problem causing us to do averos. Now, what does it mean he doesn't hold the lifnever l'sitin michshel? He holds of every pasuk in the Torah, so he holds the lifnever l'sitin michshel. It means he doesn't hold of the way we darshan lifnever l'sitin michshel. He thinks it means that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Not the way we understand the Pnei Velasit and Mishal, that you're not allowed to cause somebody else to do an Avera. Min Cheschinuch, if I'm not mistaken, on the Mitzvah of the Pnei Iver discusses whether putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person is actually Lifnei Iver or not. Meaning, this might be a case where it's so clear to us that the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that the Torah is speaking metaphorically. metaphorically and not literally, then maybe the literal translation may not even be a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sita and Michshol. Lifnei Iver Lo Sita and Michshol may only mean causing someone to do an Avera or giving someone Eitza Ra'a, but actually putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, obviously not a mitzvah, not a good thing to do, but may not actually be a violation of Lifnei Iver. But in the Kuti's mind, that's the only violation of Lifnei Iver, is putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Obviously, Lifnei Iver is a very big sugya. We're not going to get into it now. There's too much, it would be way too much to talk about. So anyway, so I asked the Gemara, so how can you believe the Kuti about where there is Tumah, where there isn't Tumah? He has no compunctions whatsoever about lying to you and causing you to sin. So Amar Rabbi Avo, B'Kohen Omid Sham. Now there's a Kuti Kohen standing right there. So if the Kuti if there was actual Tumah there, he would never stand there himself. He would get out of there because he is careful himself about Tumah. V'Dilma Kohen Tamehu. Yeah, but maybe he's already Tameh and that's why he's there. Since he's already Tameh, he has nothing to lose by being there. So how can you know just by the fact that a Kohen is standing, that a Kuti Kohen is standing there, that it's okay? Says the Gemara, Dinaka Truma Biyadeh. Now it's not about the Kohen himself, he's actually holding Truma, and he would never be Mitame Truma. So the fact that he has Truma there, you could trust him that it's a Torah location. Maybe the Truma is already Tame, so he's not losing anything by having the Truma there. And so Gemara, Dika Achil Mina. No, he's eating from it, and Truma Tameh is also to eat. It's Nisa Daraisa to eat Truma Tameh. Even a Kuti would be careful not to eat Truma Tameh. So if he's eating Truma Tameh there, then you know that if he's eating the Truma there, then you know it's not Truma Tameh, and therefore you know that that location is not Tameh. So says Gemara, Ihachi Ma'lememra. Then what's the big Chiddush? Of course you're allowed to believe him. He's relying on the fact that there's no Tumah there for himself, so obviously you're allowed to believe him that there's no Tumah there for you. So no, Ma'od Tema Lo B'Ki B'Yitzira Kamash Mlan. I might have thought that we can't trust them about the definition of what's a Nefel and what's not a Nefel, meaning something may have halachically been a Nefel, and the Kuti thought it was just Maya B'Alma. It was just fluids that came out of her body and does not require Kvura and is not something that that is Mitame in any way, but really halachically might be Mitame. So I might have thought we cannot trust him on that issue. So Kamash Mlan, that you can trust him on defining, on identifying what is a Nefel and what is not a Nefel. A very interesting line in the Gemara over here, where the Gemara had originally suggested, oh, he's a Kohen, so it must be that it's not a Tameh location. So the Gemara said, yeah, but maybe he's a Kohen Tameh, and therefore there's no problem for him to stand there. Is that true? A Kohen is already Tameh Mason. Don't we assume we're all Tameh Mason? So if we're all Tameh Mason, should every Kohen in Chutz Laretz be allowed to become Tameh to a Mace? So there is a major discussion in the Rishonim. Tosfos, all the other Rishonim say, even a Kohen that's Tameh is usher to become Tameh. That's a Gemara Maseches Nazir. It's called Mosif Tumah Al Tumaso. The Gemara Nazir Daf Yitzayim and Alpha. When a Kohen comes, who's already Tameh, comes into contact with more Tumah, he's adding more Tumah to his existing Tumah, and that itself is an Isser. So how could the Gemara suggest over here that it's no problem because he's already Tameh? So two possibilities. Number one, Tos says the Kutim hold that maybe a Kohen Tameh is not Muzar Al Tumah. Again, we're trying to explain it from the perspective of a Kuti. Yeah, we hold there's an Isser of being Mosif Tumah Al Tumaso. The Kuti doesn't hold that there's such an Isser of being Mosif Tumah Al Tumaso. The Ramban and the Ran, however, say that maybe we're talking about where it was the same day where he already had become Tameh from a Mace. And there is a Machlokes Tanaim, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, where Rabbi Akiva holds that a Kohen who had become Tameh that day, since it's not setting back his Tara process at all to come in contact with another dead body that same day, he's allowed to become Tameh to another dead body that same day, because the Tara process is going to take 7 days no matter what. So he's not setting back his deadline of when he's going to become, his earliest time rather, of when he's going to become Tahar at all by becoming Tameh to his second dead body on the same day. So on the same day, there wouldn't be no Isser of being most of Tumah Al Tumaso. It would turn out Nafkamina according to Rabbi Kiva. Let's say Kohen was Metame to Aviv, he was burying his father, so then there would be no problem with him going around to other Kvaros and going to other cemeteries and becoming Tameh to other people. So the Ramban and the Ran say maybe that this line of the Gemara is assuming like Rabbi Akiva. Happens to be La Halacha, the Rambam, the Ramban, Paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, that even Bo Bayom it's Aser to become Tameh. Rabbi Tam holds like Rabbi Akiva, that Bo Bayom it's Mutter for a coin to become Tameh. The Shaila is what what if while you're touching one dead body, can you touch another dead body? So that's the discussion, the Rambam and the Ravid, because then it's not only that you're not adding a new tumah later in the day, it's actually while you're actually touching it. That's a machlokas Rambam and the Ravid. One of the eitzas that they suggested, that one of the rabbanim suggested for kohanim to go to medical school, is that a kohen is not allowed to become tamei to a dead body. That's true, but a kohen is allowed to be tamei to a cheref hareu kechalal. If a metal implement touches a dead body, that metal implement has a din of an aviyavos hatumah. So a kohen is allowed to touch that metal kli after it's removed from the body. He's not allowed to touch the body, but he's allowed to touch that metal kli. Once he's touching that metal kli, it's ki'ilu he's touching a body, except in b'derech heter. So one, I think it was Rav Goren suggested, maybe we should give every kohen who wants to go to medical school a cheref hareu kechal, like a pen, a metal pen he keeps in his pocket, and therefore he's always ki'ilu he's touching a dead body already, and there's no further iser to touch a second dead body. And a lot of other rabbanim were very, very unhappy with that suggestion to be makel. But okay, that's based on this basic principle at least. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Now we're at the two dots. Now manam al behema. The Kohen is believed, the Kuti rather, is believed to say about a behema, whether it was Bikra or not Bikra, whether it has had a baby or has not had offspring yet. I frak the Gemara, how could you believe him on anything? Again, he has no problems causing us to stumble. Now the case is that we see he's doing avoda with this animal. He's shearing this animal. So if it were really an issue of Bukhar, he would never do it. Then what's the big chiddush? Of course. So of course you could believe him. I might have thought that Kuti is not an expert and cannot be trusted on what's considered a leida by an animal either. What's considered just a mess that comes out of the animal, what's considered a real leida from the animal. So Kamash Blon, you could trust him to identify what's a Bukhar and what's not a Bukhar. Not only can you trust him to be believed about Bukhar when he himself is relying on it, but you could trust him to identify what is actually defined as a Bukhar or not. Now, manam al siyum, we also said that he's believed on siyum kvaros. V'yafkav midrabananu, but wait a second, marking off graves, that's only a din midrabanan. But kiven d'chsiva mizr zihiri be. Yes, it's a din drabanan, but it's written in Nach. And since it's written in Tanakh, so they're careful about it. D'chsiv, because the pasuk says, where's the pasuk? It's not in Chumash. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Pasuk says, v'ra etzem adam ubana etzel tziyun. That when you see an etzem adam, you build a tziyun, you mark it off, you mark off a grave. So Tosos in Maseches Babasra and Daf Kuf Mem Zayinam Aleph points out from our Gemara Tzmuchach that Tziyun Kvaros is only Midrabanan. It says it explicitly in our Gemara. However, there is a Gemara in Moed Katan on Daf Heyam Aleph where the Gemara says Remez L'Tziyun Kvaros Min HaTorah Minayin. Where do we find the Remez to Tziyun Kvaros Min HaTorah? Tamalam Ra Etzem Adam Uban Etzel Tziyun. Quotes our Pasuk. So Tosos says, okay, obviously it's only Nasmachta Mialma, it's not a din d'oraisa. Our Gemara is very clear that it's only a din midrabanan. Ask Zeroth Ner. The Gemara Moed Katan asked, where do we find the remez to tzion kvaros min haTorah, right? And then it quoted a pasuk in Yecheskel. So before Yecheskel Anavi came, let's assume you could take that Gemara at face value, that it's actually looking for a source for Tzion Kvaros min haTorah. So then before Yecheskel came along, where do we learn the din of Tzion Kvaros? So the Gemara says, before Yecheskel came along, we knew it from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So it's clear in the Gemara over there that Tzion Kvaros is a din min haTorah. It's not only a din midrabanan. The Gemara itself asks, we ask for min haTorah. How can you tell me Pasuk in Yecheskel? And the Gemara says, yeah, before Yecheskel came along, it was Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Yecheskel just lent a pasuk to it, but it was Halacha L'Moshe Misinai the whole time. So doesn't that make it a din d'oraisa? So how could we say over here that it's a din d'rabanan? How could Tosos write that it's only an asmachta? It makes it a din d'oraisa. Good, it's only an asmachta, but it's an asmachta to a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, to a din d'oraisa. So the Aruch Tener suggests that when our Gemara says that it's mitrabanan, it means the Gabe Kutim that we don't believe them, that we wouldn't believe them about it, it would be considered like a drabanan. Why? Because kutim aren't believed about the araisas and not believed about the rabbanans. That's not really the gedder when it comes to believing kutim. Kudmar believed about what it says in the Torah and not believed about what it doesn't say in the Torah. There are plenty of things it doesn't say in the Torah, but are dinim daraisa. Every din we learn from Yudgim Lidshatar and Dreshpen are dinim daraisa. Dinim that we know from Elochim Moshe Misinai are dinim daraisa. Kudim aren't believed about those things. They're only believed about that which is mefurash b'Torah. So when our Gemara says that it's drabanan, it doesn't really mean drabanan. It means it's like a drabanan vis-a-vis kutim, that a kuti would not be believed about it because it's not a real din that's mefurash in the Torah. It's only a normal din midaraisa that's learned out from Halacha Moshe Misinai. Avaleinu amanam al eschachos al pros. The Mishnah went on to say they're not believed about various awnings to tell us about the tumah status of the awnings. So eschachos titanei luin eschachos ilan amesach al aretz. Eschachos is a tree that overhangs. Pros titanei avanam pros ayotz meageder. That's stones that overhang from a building. Beis apras amr abiyudam amr of Shmuel menafeach adam beis apras valich. A person can blow away the dirt by a beis apras to see if there are any actual bones there, and then he can walk in that area once he's verified that there are no bones there. Rav Yehuda bar Amram, Shreds Rav Yehuda Amar, Beis HaPras Shenidash Tar, a Beis HaPras that's already been trampled is Tar, because we assume that it's already, it's caused the bones to disintegrate. V'tana Achorish Beis HaKvaros HaReza also Beis HaPras. We learned that if a Beis HaKvaros is plowed up, so that makes a Beis HaPras. V'ad Kama Hu Osa, how large of an area becomes a Beis HaPras based on a Kever being plowed in that area? Melo Manu Mea Amma Base Arba Se'in. 100 square amos, the amount of place where you could plant 4 sa'a. So Rabbi Yossi Amar Chamesh. No, even a little larger, the amount of space that 5 se'in could fit. So frankly, Gemara V'lo Mehemni, are Kutim really not believed about this? V'atani Asada Shnevin Ba'kever Neman Kuti Lomer Ein Shom Kever L'fishay Nomeid El Al Gufa Shol Kever. That if there's a field that a Kever was lost, the Kuti is believed to say that there's no Kever there because he's being made about a Kever, and a Kever is something he does believe in. He does believe a kever is metame, so he should be believed to say that a kever is not there. Ilan shu mesach alaretz neman lomer intact of kever l'fishenu meid el al gufah shel kever. If there's a tree that overhangs a certain area, the kuti can say there's no kever under that tree because he's not being made about schachos and praos, about the halachic status of overhangs. He's being made whether there's a kever or not, and he holds of a din of a kever that a kever is metame. So as the gemara am Rabbi Yochanan b'mahali chuba al pnei kula. That's only if he's walking along the entire area. So that's when he's believed. But otherwise, he's not believed to tell us that there is or is not a kever in that location. Then what's the chiddush if he's there walking along the entire area? I might have thought that maybe there's one part of the field that has the tumah there, doesn't have the tumah there, that he's or is only a suffix tumah, that's the area where he's going. So Kamash Blan therefore comes to tell me that no, you could trust if he's going there, then he thinks that it's pretty safe. So Zach Klaus, so the Mishnah had said that we have a rule. The rule is that anything that a kuti is believed in, anything that a kuti observes, he's believed in. Anything he doesn't personally observe, he's not believed in. So zeh klal lasuyemai. What are we adding by this rule that we didn't already know? Lasuy tchumin v'yayin nesach. We're adding tchumin and yayin nesach. So a kuti is not believed about tchumin to tell us where tchum Shabbos is, because tchumin are only drabanan, and kutim therefore do not accept it. And yayin nesach also, Rashi points out that ein kuti makbid al maga oved kochavim. A kuti is not careful about wine that was touched by a guy. The Aruch Torah points out it can't mean yai nesach mamish, that a wine that a guy poured for avodah zarah, because that's midaraisa, and a kuti would be makbid about that. That's why Rashi has to say yai nesach doesn't mean yai nesach. It means yayin that a guy had touched. The Aruch Torah just wonders, why doesn't the Gemara just say stam yinim then? Why do you have to say wine that a guy touched? What about stam yinim? A kuti is obviously not going to be careful about stam yinim, and we obviously will be careful about stam yinim. Okay, so Nachnami could have given that answer as well. Okay, Adon Nachnami Nida. Now we begin the eighth parak of Maseches Nida. So says the Mishnah, Haroa Kesem El Basar. This Mishnah has one very simple rule, and that is when a woman finds a stain, she has to be reasonable about it. If the stain likely came from her body, she has to assume it came from her body. If it's found in a location where it likely did not come from her body, she does not have to assume it came from her body. That's the only rule the Mishnah has. The Mishnah just gives a lot of examples of what's called a reasonable place where it might have come from her body, and what's called a place where it could not have reasonably come from her body. So Arola Kesmal Basara Kenegad Besaturfa Metam. If a woman sees a stain on her flesh, connected the area where blood comes from, so then it's tame. Mishalo connected base of Torah for Torah. But if it's not connected the area where blood comes from, then it's tahar. That's the rule. Now we give examples. Ala keva, val rosh godla, on her heel, on her big toe, tamea. That could have dripped straight down and made her tame. And therefore she's tame. Al shoka val parso seha, on her thighs and on her feet, mi bifnim tamea. On the inner part of them, it's tame, the inner part of the thighs, mibachutz tora. But in the outer part of the thighs, it's tar, because how would it sneak around the leg and get all the way to the outer part of the thigh? Va'alat stadin mikana mikan tora. And the sides, ironically, it's not really what we would call the front and back of the leg, right, is called the sides over here, because mibifnim, mibachutz, and then front and back. So on the front and back of the leg, she's tahora. Now, what does al shoka mean? So there's a major machlokas haposkim, what the definition of the word shok is. Not so much the gabe hilchus nida, because mistama the gabe hilchus nida, all across the length of the leg, now everyone would agree, would have a din mibifnim, she would be tame, right? All across the whole height of the leg, from the what we would call the calf area to what we would call the thigh area, is all the same. But in terms of erva, what part of a shok bi isha erva, the sugi maseches brachos, that shok of a woman is considered an erva, so which part of the leg is that talking about? What is the shok of a woman? So that's a machlokas haposkim, whether shok means what we call the thigh, the above the knee area of the leg, that's what's called an erva, and therefore that's what she has to cover, that's what you're not allowed to say brachos and kriyashma in front of, etc. Or do we assume that it means the entire length of the leg, including even the calf area, that that's also called the shok? There are riots from different places in Shas, from unusual place in Shas, not only in Erva Sugyas. In Sugyas about identifying different parts of an animal, what's called the shok of the animal, right? So there are different rayas from all over the place. But but over here, the stomach would be across the whole length of the leg anyway, I would assume. Ras al Chalukah, if she finds a stain on her clothing, on her robe, let's say, minachagor lamata tmeya. So if it's from the belt down, meaning this bottom half of the clothing, so she's tmeya. That obviously could have come out of her body. Minachagor lamala torah. But if it's on the top half of her clothing, then she's torah. Ras al beis yad shel chaluk. If she finds on the sleeve of her robe, in magia kenegar beis hatorah for tmeya. If she has long sleeves that reach all the way down to that area, so then it could be she's going to be tmeya. V'imlaf torah. But if the sleeves don't reach that far anyway, she's going to be torah. Haiso pashtasom. But if it's an article of clothing that she takes off after wearing it during the daytime and uses it as a cover at night, then wherever you find it on the clothing, it's going to be tame, because when she uses it as a cover, so the top half of the beggar might be on the bottom half of her body, so therefore it might be connected to the bottom half of her body, and therefore it's going to be tame. And it's not only by a chaluk, it's also by an apron, another type of article of clothing, all of these same halakhah apply. Now, regarding the very idea that a kesem could be metame, the Gemara is going to say the rest of the daf is analyzing a drasha the Gemara has that a woman only becomes tame midaraisa when she has what's called a hargasha, achetargish bevisara. If she just found a kesem, it means she didn't have a hargasha. Hargasha is some sort of sensation that she has as the dam emerges that tells her that she's a nida. So obviously, if she just found a stain, she didn't have a hargasha. If she would have had a hargasha, she would have known about it. So why is a kesem tamei in the first place? Apparently it's a din midrabanan that a kesem is tamei. So the very etzem tuma of a kesem, Kesef Mishnah Yisurei Bir Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, asks a very famous kasha. Why were the chacham gozer a kesem? On every single kesem, says the Kesef Mishnah, should be a svek sveka. Maybe the blood came from her body, or maybe it didn't come from her body. And even if it did come from her body, maybe it didn't come from the uterus. Maybe it's not uterine bleeding. Maybe it's vaginal bleeding. Maybe it's whatever. It's not. It may not be uterine bleeding. And therefore, it should be a svek sveka. And a svek sveka should be tar. So Nadbiyuda in Yardaya, Madura Kama Simon and Beis highly questions this svek sveka of the Kesef Mishnah. He says, this suffix that maybe it didn't come from the Makar, it came from the Tzadim, is not a suffix at all. Because Daman into Bepruzder, Yechayv Alav Albias Mikdash, Cheskasol Min HaMakar, the Gemara said, that we have an assumption that any Dam, even if you find it in the Prozder, you find it in another area of her body inside, and you don't see it directly coming from the uterus, it's assumed to come from the uterus. That's the Chazaka. So the truth is, this suffix of Shem Adam Me'alma alone should have been enough to be Mataris, says the Nodav Yehuda. Because there's no Isra Daraisa over here, there's no Argasha. It's only Nisra Midrabanan. So if you have a legitimate suffix that maybe the blood didn't come from her, that alone should have been enough to be Matahir. So says the Nodav Yehuda, Minatori you need Argasha only to be Matame in Ishum Ishum Nida, Tumas Shiva to be Asura Labaila. But nevertheless, since Makar Makam Otame, if the Dam was from the Isha, even without out of Hargasha, so she would still be Tamei Tumas Erev Min HaTorah, and therefore there would still be a din of Tuma Mida Oraisa. So you have to say that the woman would be at least Tamei Tumas Erev for the one Safek Da Oraisa L'chumra. And once you're being Metamei or Tumas Erev, so then it's not a very great leap to say that she's going to be Metamei Tumas Shiva as well Midrabanan. So, but this question of the Kesef Mishnah, that there's a Sfek Sveka, caused a big stir in the Achronim. All the Achronim discuss this issue. The Taz is Miyashev, that since Rov Dam comes from Anisha, the Dam that maybe, that Rov Dam from Anisha comes from the Makar, the fact that maybe it came from somewhere else is not a legitimate suffix. Where the Marcheshes writes, no, it's not a suffix at all, because it's all the same suffix. It was a Dam in a Makar, was it not Dam in a Makar? You want to say, was it Dam from another part of her body, or Dam from outside? What difference does it make? Either way, it's not Dam in a Makar. It's like saying, it's a third suffix. Was it Dam from within this town, or maybe the Dam came from a different town? It doesn't matter. Once it's not Dam in a Makar, it's not Tame. Okay, says the Gemara. If she checked the ground before she sat down on it, then she sits down on it, and when she gets up, she finds dam on it, she's Torah, on the Dorais level. If she doesn't have a Hargasha, she's not going to be Tamei Midoraisa. What is a Hargasha? So we've pointed out before, Piskei Tshuvin Kuf Pei Gimel quotes three shitos of what Hargasha means. Either Nizdaza Gufa, that her entire body trembles, that's what the Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Yisuri Bia, or Hargashas Psichas HaMakar, that's the sheet of the Trumas Hadesh in Resh Memvav, that if she feels her uterus opening up, or the third possibility that the Nodav Yehuda writes in Yerodea Kama, Simin Nunhei, is that she feels Zivas Dover Lachmi Bifnim. She feels something moist flowing inside of her. Whatever Hargasha means, she needs to have Hargasha if she's going to be Tamei Midar Raisa. So frankly, Gemara, wait a second, is that what we do with the word Bivasara? Hi Bivasara, Mi Bai Leishim Matam Bifnim Kebuchutz. Don't we already need Bivasara to teach me that she's Matame Bifnim Kebuchutz, that even if the blood hasn't come out of her body, it's still in the vaginal canal, it's she's already Tamei? Imkein Lemakra Bibasar. My Bivasara? Shemaminat Shetargish Bivasara. That extra hey tells us that you can make a second drasha. Vakati Mi Bai Leib Bivasara Velo Bashir Velo Bechaticha. But still, I need the drasha Bivasara to tell me that the dam is not Matame if it's found enclosed inside a shvir or a chaticha or a piece of flesh. So tarti shemamina. Yeah, you can learn both from the word bivasara, that's fine. Now the Gemara is going to bring a few rayas against Shmuel. Can you really tell me if she doesn't have her argasha that she's not tamei? So raya number one, tashma. Haisha, she also tzrachev rasa dam ramei romer medesmei v'mashavis tahor. If a woman was urinating and then she found blood in the urine. So Rameir holds that if she was standing up while she was urinating, she's tamei. If she was sitting, she's tahor. Hey chidami, so what's the case? Ida argasha yoshavis amai tahor. If she had Argasha, why should she ever be tar? I love the Lord. So must be she did not have Argasha. V'katani, omedes tamei. We still say that she's tamei if she was standing up. So don't you see you don't need Argasha to be tamei? Answer Gemara, no. The old Argasha, v'em Argasha, me'er glayim avai. No, maybe she did have Argasha, but she didn't think that she was having Argasha's damnida. She attributed that Argasha to the sensation of urinating. Omedes hadu me'er glayim l'makar v'aisidam v'yoshev es Torah. So if she's standing, we assume the me'er glayim will go in reverse and go back up to the uterus and bring some blood down. Unclear biologically how to explain this, but if she's sitting, sitting, then she's tahara. We don't assume that it brought any blood. Tashma, raya number two. Let's say she had a b'dikah cloth right under the pillow. And right after she had tashma shamita, she checked and she found dam on it. Im agul tar v'mashuch tamei. Or if it's circular, it's tar. If it's a long stain, it's tamei. Hey chidami, what's the case? Idir gisha agul amay tar. If she had argasha, why should it ever be tar? Elav d'lor gisha. Must be she didn't have argasha. Yet we still see there's possibility of becoming tamei even without argasha. It's another kasha on Shmuel. Lo, liyalim dergisha veim argasha zedavai. No, she did a bedika. She did a bedika with this cloth. So maybe she had argasha, but she attributed that argasha to the sensation of doing the bedika and not of the seeing of dam nida. That's why we're actually choshesh for all of these things. That if a woman takes a bedika cloth, you don't have any of the kulas of ksam. She finds even a speck of dam on a bedika cloth. We assume that can make her a dam nida. You don't have any of the clothes of ksam. Even something that's not makabel tuma, toilet paper. A Moshe Pass is not makabel tuma. But if a woman takes toilet paper and sticks it inside of herself like a bedika, even the tiniest speck of blood will make her tummy midaraisi. You have to worry about hargasha. Mashuk vade migufa asa. But if it's mashuk came from the body, agul tar. If it's round, then it's tar. Tashma, third raya against Shmuel. Nimtzal shalot mein mechayv makarban. Let's say he finds a blood on a cloth that he cleaned himself off with after having tashmash with her. So then they're both tameh and chayv karban because he was slept with the nida. Nimtzal shalot, if they find it on her cloth, os yom tameh, and if they find it right away, they're both tameh and chayv makarban. Nimtzal shalot achazman tameh misafik turmer not karban. But if they only find it a little while later, then they're only tameh misafik and they're put from karban. Hey chidami, either gisha lachazman amay paturim not karban el lav delor gisha. If there was argasha, why would you be put from a karban? So it must be there was no argasha. V'ktani nimtzal shalot yom tameh chayv makarban. And even though there's no argasha, you see that we're worried about a chiv carbon over here. Says the Gemara, lo, the olam dir gisha, veim argasha shamash hava. Maybe there was argasha, but she attributed that argasha to the sensation of tashmish and not to the sensation of actual damnida coming out of her. Okay, we're a little behind. Hashem, we'll pick up with raya number four against Shmuel tomorrow, next tashmash.